Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Well, it is Pentecost Sunday, so you can probably predict what text we're going to go to this morning. We're going to turn to Acts chapter 2. It'll come up on the screen behind me. Acts chapter 2, we're going to read from verse 1. We have got the doctor himself, Luke, writing to us. I'd like to call myself a doctor too, but I'm not there yet. Maybe one day I'll have a doctorate. Okay, from verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Everyone say one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now that they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans?" Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they had had too much Penfold's wine. That was my addition. Why don't we take a moment to pray? Holy Spirit, we invite you to do what you want to do today. On this Pentecost Sunday, we ask that God, you would move our hearts, you would move our minds, you would invade this place like only you can. God, we pray that you would show us this morning the power of Pentecost, the power of this text, the power of this moment in history and what it has meant for every single day since what took place in that upper room. God, would you burn the truth of this text into our hearts this morning, we ask. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Well, I want to speak to you this morning from the title, Power for a Purpose. Power for a Purpose. I don't know if you've noticed, but final words matter. Final words really matter. Most people will use their final words to say something that is important, to share something that is profound. People want to make their last words count. If people know they've only got a few words left with loved ones or friends, they want to make those words count. They understand the weight and the significance of their final words. Well, during Jesus' final conversation with the disciples, he passed on some really important words. He said to the disciples, "Do not, whatever you do, do not leave Jerusalem until you have received the gift that my Father promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then he went on to say, "When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power to be my witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, in Jerusalem, and to the ends of the earth." And the disciples heard these words and they were obedient. And what they did is they went on to a little home and they went up to the upper room. And we're told from that point on, the disciples spent 10 days praying, gathering together in the upper room, waiting for this promise, waiting for this gift that Jesus had spoken of in his final words. Now, before we jump into that moment, some of you may be asking, okay, what on earth is Pentecost though? What on earth is the day of Pentecost back then? Well, very good question. It was a Jewish festival. Pentecost was a Jewish festival. It was called the Feast of Harvest. And what would happen was they would celebrate the beginning of the wheat harvest season. They would celebrate God's goodness and God's kindness in providing for Israel and providing for their families. And it was a moment where people would come together, and there would actually be, it was like a pilgrim festival where people would travel from their homes and their villages, and they would all head to one place, Jerusalem, to celebrate this festival and to celebrate the goodness of God. Now, I was thinking about this, okay, what's our modern day equivalent to this festival? And the best I could come up with in Melbourne is the AFL Grand Final Parade. Who knows, for a lot of Aussies, AFL is their religion. And at the grand final parade, you know what happens in the Melbourne CBD. It is packed. It is clogged up. There is people everywhere. That is almost a picture of what Jerusalem would have looked like in this moment. All of the surrounding villages and places and towns, all the men came in, and Jerusalem was absolutely packed with people to celebrate this festival. Now, it's important we understand up until this point, in history, Pentecost, access to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit was extremely limited. Extremely limited. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament came upon particular people in particular places for particular purposes. The only person that had access to the very presence of God himself was the high priest. And once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, go into the temple, and could access the presence of God. For years and years and years, for hundreds of years, the presence of God was not accessible to the average God-fearing person. But there was a man. There was a man named Joel in the Old Testament who loves the prophets, an old prophet, and he prophesied these words. He said, there is a day that is coming when God will pour out his Spirit on all people. My young people will dream dreams. My old people will see visions, and I will pour out my Spirit on all people. And that moment that we just read about in the upper room at Pentecost was the very moment that this prophecy was fulfilled. Here they are, the disciples with others, they're gathered in the upper room, and all of a sudden this wind, this sound like a rushing wind flooded this upper room, and they were filled with the Spirit and they began to speak in tongues. And that moment marked the point where God had come to live in his people, where the presence of God, where the Holy Spirit was no longer out of bounds, but the Holy Spirit was now accessible to all people who would call upon the name of Jesus. This moment was marked in that way. The moment that unlimited access to the presence of God was granted. You see, on that day, a match was struck that started a fire of the Holy Spirit that has been burning from this moment on throughout every day and every week and every month throughout the whole of the world. And that fire is still burning to this day, the fire of the Holy Spirit. And today we gather on Pentecost Sunday not to celebrate a wheat harvest, but we gather to celebrate the fact that you and I and every other person that would trust Jesus has access to the very presence of God. We don't have to beg, we don't have to contend, we don't have to perform, but through Jesus we have access to the power of God. Who believes that is good news this morning? You see, the Holy Spirit didn't just come as a counselor or a comforter, but he came to give us access to the greatest power this world has ever seen. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that parted the Red Sea and saw a nation of people set free. The same power that led to blind eyes being opened, cripples walking. The same power that changed my heart and your heart. That is the power that we have been given access to. And many people have wrongly described the book of Acts as the activity of the apostles or the Acts of the Apostles. But that description is missing one critical ingredient, the person of the Holy Spirit. Because the book of Acts isn't an account of the Acts of the Apostles. It's an account of the activity of the Holy Spirit through the lives of the apostles. How many people know the book of Acts would be really boring if the Holy Spirit wasn't working through people? All of the prison breaks, all of the miraculous intervention, all of the healing, all of the incredibly powerful messages that were preached, these weren't the result of really intelligent, gifted men. These things were the result of everyday human beings like you and I allowing God's Spirit to work in them and through them. That's why we see what we saw in the book of Acts. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, these things would not have happened. Last year, I think it was during the lockdown period, a few of us decided to go for a mountain bike ride. So I met my good friend, Matt Hobson, who is here this morning over at Candlebark Park in Templestowe. My dad came along. We arrived in the car park to go for a casual mountain bike ride. When we arrived, this is generally what blokes do. You kind of check out each other's equipment and have a look at what bike you'll be riding and get a feel for how this whole thing's going to go. Because let's be honest, most guys are competitive. And we rocked up and Matt is what you would call a purist mountain bike rider. So what that means is he showed up with a standard mountain bike. You pedal and the bike will go as fast as you're pedaling. He's what you would call the real deal. My dad and I, on the other hand, are what I like to call innovators. We didn't show up with normal mountain bikes. We showed up with top-of-the-line e-bikes or electric bikes. Now, if you're not familiar with electric bikes, these days, those things are fitted with giant batteries and those things absolutely fly. They can make the most unfit man look like a fit powerhouse when he jumps on that bike. So we rocked up, we jumped on the bikes. For probably the first, 500 meters or something, we were kind of riding alongside each other, the three of us having a chat. So we were together until we got to the first hill. Now, as soon as we got to the first hill, Dad and I chucked the e-bikes on boost mode and these things just took off and we flew up this mountain. We felt like we were at the Tour de France. We were just unbelievable, elite. We got to the top of this brief hill climb and we turned back and Matt was nowhere to be seen. We kind of waited for a minute. Matt was nowhere to be seen. Waited another few minutes. No, Matt hadn't made it to the top of the hill yet. And look, I'm going to be honest and real with you this morning. My dad and I spent the next 2 hours going for a ride and we just left Matt behind altogether. I'm an incredible friend, aren't I? I did offer him a ride on the e-bike, but he declined. He said no, he's a purist. So we were, what was meant to be a social catch-up didn't turn into a social catch-up at all because I barely saw the guy. But the interesting thing about e-bikes is e-bikes match your pedal power with the power of the battery, with the electricity that comes from the battery, the pedal power that comes from the battery. And the thing about an e-bike is you can go further, you can go faster, and you can go a lot longer on an e-bike than you could on a standard bike. If you just rely on your own fitness and your own strength on a standard bike, there's a limit to how far you can go. But when you're on an e-bike, there's no limit to what you're able to accomplish on that thing. And in the exact same way, when we partner with the power of the Holy Spirit, when we partner with the Holy Spirit and His power, we are able to go further, we are able to go longer, we are able to go faster, and in those moments where we want to give up, we can tap into a power source called the Holy Spirit that enables us to keep going. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, when you partner with the power of the Holy Spirit, you are able to do things that you would not be able to do in your own strength and your own ability. We have been given this power for a purpose. We have been given this power for a purpose. The apostles understood they weren't filled with the power of the Holy Spirit just for some warm, ecstatic feeling just for them, but they were filled because of the enormous mission God had given them to see people saved and healed and delivered. And they knew that this mission was absolutely impossible unless they were empowered and fueled by the Holy Spirit. They understood that the Holy Spirit hadn't just come to make a difference in them, but had come to make a difference through them. And after they were filled and started speaking in tongues, the foreigners who had come from Pentecost for this festival that we just heard about, there was thousands of people there, they were amazed because these people in the upper room, there was 120 people in the upper room, they all of a sudden started to speak in foreign language to them, but to the people that had traveled from different parts of the world to this festival, all of a sudden they were hearing their native language. They were hearing their native tongue and they were blown away. In verse 12, it says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much Penfold's wine. Now, once the disciples had been filled with the Holy Spirit, people noticed a difference. And all throughout the book of Acts, people noticed something different about the apostles because they were marked with the Holy Spirit. And when you and I lived Spirit-empowered lives, people will notice something different about us. Let's be so filled with God's presence and the Holy Spirit that people see a difference in us. And when we come to church, we should leave different, amen? Like, people should see us in our daily lives and go, hey, have you been at church again? Have you been in the presence of God again? Have you been in the Word of God again? Because I noticed something different about you when you've been in that place. We should live our lives in such a way, so filled with the Spirit of God, that people notice a difference. How many people know our Sunday should translate to our Monday? So many people will separate the sacred and the secular, and it's like, okay, church and God's presence and all that is for Sunday, and then I get back into the secular on Monday. God never intended it to be that way. The Holy Spirit, the apostles didn't live that way, but each moment of their day was fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't fill you just for you. It's also for others. We were given power for a purpose. In our time left this morning, I want to ask the question, what should a Spirit-empowered church look like? What should a Holy Spirit-empowered church look like? What are some of the marks of a Holy Spirit-empowered church? The first one is this, a Spirit-empowered church. A Holy Spirit-empowered church is a bold church. What was the very first thing that happened after the Holy Spirit came and filled the disciples in the upper room? Well, go with me to verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. Peter stood up in that moment and preached his first public sermon. Now get this, scholars tell us that Peter likely preached this sermon to around 8 to 10,000 people. Talk about a baptism of fire. This dude is preaching his first public sermon and he's preaching to around 10,000 people. I would be freaking out in this moment. I remember when I first started preaching, it was at young adults, often to 100 or 200 people, and I would be physically sick almost every time I had to get up and preach. You can ask Rara about it. It wasn't fun at all. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm not physically sick these days. But here's Peter preaching to a crowd that big. And this is the same Peter that just a few weeks earlier denied Jesus 3 times because he was so fearful of other people. This is the timid Peter, and he's standing up and he boldly proclaims the gospel of Jesus. He boldly preaches to this enormous crowd. He preaches a Holy Spirit-inspired message, and we are told that at the end of his message, people are cut to the heart. people are convicted, and 3,000 people at the end of that message are baptized, receive Jesus, and are added to the church. Just a few weeks earlier, he's denying Jesus. Here, Peter, filled, empowered with the Holy Spirit, stands up and boldly declares the goodness of God. On numerous occasions, the apostles were persecuted, they were arrested, they were imprisoned. But the interesting thing is opposition, persecution, imprisonment could not stop the disciples, the apostles, from doing what God had called them to do. Nothing was able to stop them from living for the mission God had given them. You'd think, you know, after one imprisonment, you'd kind of go, oh, do I want to keep doing this? A second imprisonment, they received so much opposition, but because of the boldness that was in them through the work of the Spirit, they stayed true to what God had called them to do. And one of the clearest signs that someone is living a Spirit-filled life is boldness. And boldness is not about personality type. Boldness is not about wiring, but boldness is about what comes out of us when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. Boldness isn't limited to a personality type, but boldness is a fruit of the Spirit. Boldness is a result of allowing the Spirit of God to work in us. And I don't know about you, but I want to live as a bold Christian. I don't want to have a faith that is a private faith that I kind of hide away, but I want to go public with my faith. I want to wake up each day and say, Holy Spirit, would you fill me afresh for this day? Holy Spirit, would you give me boldness? Because naturally, I can be timid at times. Naturally, I can see people and feel overwhelmed when it comes to sharing. Holy Spirit, would you do a deep work in me? That's the way He's called us to live, to wake up and realize, hey, we don't have it in our own strength. We don't have all the solutions. We don't have everything we need. But we have been given a power source that can literally change our everyday lives. A Spirit-empowered church is a bold church, but a Spirit-empowered church is also a growing church. Acts 2:14 says, those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I love this. Peter, upper room, is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, stands up and boldly declares the gospel of Jesus. And what happens? The church begins to explode. People are baptized. The church begins to move rapidly throughout Jerusalem and the surrounding towns and cities, and people are getting saved. And consistently throughout Acts, we see the phrase, God added to their number. God added to the number. The early church grew from a handful of people to thousands and thousands. Why? It was because the disciples lived with a sense of urgency. The new believers, they lived with a sense of urgency. This is a message that God has given us that we can't keep to ourselves, but we need to get this to our friends. We need to get this to our family members. We need to live on mission. We need to live with a sense of urgency, and we are called to live on mission. How many people know that this church, it's not a place, a club for the spiritually elite? But it's a hospital for the hurting and the broken and the searching and the hungry and those who are lost and those who are confused and those who are jaded by life and hardship and COVID and all these other things. This place isn't a club for those that go, hey, I'm really spiritual and really religious. It's about having open doors and inviting those in who need to hear the gospel. And we are a people that are called to go. We are called to share. We are called to invite. And let's be a people that disciple others, that invite others to church. You know, you could simply say to people, hey, this upcoming Sunday, do you want to go to the movies? And they'll be like, yeah, okay, what time? You'll be like, 10 a.m. They'll be like, that's a really early movie, isn't it? You'll be like, yeah, it's really early, but I got free tickets. You don't have to pay a cent. Just come along to the movies. And they'll get here and think you're a liar until we show the two-minute church highlights clip. And you can say, look, we've got a movie. It might not have gone as long as you expected. You see where I'm going? We can be innovative and invite people to church. Let's never just see church as a place for us, but it's a place for people that are hurting and need to hear the good news of Jesus. And let's be real, sometimes we can shrink back from this responsibility of living on mission because we mix up our responsibility with the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can feel the weight of it because we're like, all right, is it my job to convert this person? Is it my job to, you know, see them saved? We're simply called to live Holy Spirit-inspired lives, to be a witness, which means to testify to what God's done in your life, to who Jesus is. And guess what? The rest of it is in God's hands. No human being has ever changed another human being's heart eternally and spiritually. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to share. The Holy Spirit's job is to transform in a deep, deep way. I was praying for my brother for years and years, and it just seemed like it was going nowhere. And you know, I'd share with him and encourage him. And I didn't see much response going on for a long time, but maybe 6-9 months ago, it was so clear. God began to work on his heart in a very real way, and he opened his heart, and he's now following Jesus. He's coming along to church pretty much every Sunday. He's at prayer meetings, not because I was able to convince him, but because the Holy Spirit began to do a deep work on his heart. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to transform, not ours. A Spirit-empowered church, finally, is a supernatural church. After Pentecost, if you turn the page to chapter 3, you'll see one of the very first things that happens is Peter and John encounter a man who has been lame his whole life, and this man cries out to them and they say, "Silver and gold we don't have, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And they help this man up, and all of a sudden he begins to walk. He begins to run. He begins to celebrate what has just happened. And Acts is littered with the supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit. Signs and wonders accompanied the gospel wherever they went. It wasn't just about proclamation, but it was about a demonstration of God's power. They went hand in hand. Signs and wonders always accompanied the preaching of the Word of God. And we are a church that believes in the supernatural. We are a church that is called Pneuma Church, which means God's Spirit, God's wind, God's breath, which speaks of God's ability to step in and to transform and to walk. Our values, we believe that miracles are normal. We believe that prayer fuels power. We are a Pentecostal supernatural church that believes in a moment of time, things can change, not because of who we are, but because of the God that we serve and His desire to be involved in our everyday life. And just 2 weeks ago, Rob and Ondi, who are here this morning, were able to share their testimony at Team Advance with our leaders and volunteers. And many of you would know their story. Rob went in, we'll get them up to share at some point, but Rob went in for major heart surgery. It took a turn for the worse, that surgery, and I think he ended up being in surgery for something like 24 or 12 hours. It was crazy. They didn't know if he was going to make it through, if he was going to live. Post the surgery, it was touch and go. Rob was in a sedated state. He was not responsive in any way. They didn't know if he was going to live or die. It was really, really serious. And a few of us from church went in and simply didn't do anything special, simply prayed for him, laid hands on him. And can I tell you, to this day, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. We laid hands on him. Immediately, this man, Rob, opened his eyes. He goes, "Hi, Luke." His wife and his father-in-law began to celebrate and jump around. I'm like, "Wow, what's going on here?" They're like, "You don't understand. He hasn't done this for days." And from that moment on, praying for him, he began to recover and go on the journey of being restored to strength and health, and he's still on that journey. This is the power of God. This is the power of God, sometimes we just need to ask. And what we see here is God himself has delegated us, given us authority to execute his will on earth. He's given us the ability to pray in the name of Jesus and to see things change in a moment of time because of the power of the Holy Spirit, because of what he's done in our lives. So the question we need to ask this morning is, how often are we intentionally accessing this power? How often are we intentionally accessing this power? Just because something is freely available to us doesn't mean we automatically access it. The truth is, there are people in this world who have a lot of money, who have a lot of money stored away in the bank or whatever, and these people, some of them will live their lives without ever accessing the resource that is available to them. They'll never access their funds to, you know, go on a family holiday or to do some good in the world or to help someone else. It's like, it's just stored away and they're like, I'm not going to touch this. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that Christian that gets to the end of my life and goes, hey, did I really access the resources of heaven that were available to me? Did I really take the time to go, hey, I want to tap into the spiritual inheritance that God has made available to me? Let's access all that God has made available to us this day in our daily lives. God has called us to access the resources of heaven on a daily basis, to walk in his power and authority. As the worship team join me, Ephesians chapter 5 teaches us that we are not to be filled with his spirit once or twice, but to be a Christian is to be continuously filled with the Spirit of God over and over again. Why? Because we leak. Why? Because we are humans and we can grow tired, we can grow weary, which is why we need to be filled again and again. And I don't know about you, but I want to live my life on full. I don't want to go through life feeling like I'm on empty all the time, or, you know, like there's nothing to draw from, but I want to live that empowered life. And the great thing that I love about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is not a dam or a water catchment, but the Holy Spirit reveals himself as the spring of life, as a never-ending supply of power and goodness and strength. And you know, the interesting thing about the Holy Spirit is when we come to draw from the well of the Holy Spirit will never say, sorry, this well is empty. Sorry, this spring is empty. Kind of, there's been so many people coming recently and just drawing from this well. There's nothing left to pass on. There is an endless supply of the resources of heaven that are available to us when we come to the Holy Spirit. And here's what I've observed. It's possible to be surrounded by living water, but to not be drinking from living water. It's possible to be in a place where it's all around you, living water. The Holy Spirit's there each day. We're coming to church. We can draw from this well, but it's possible to be surrounded by living water, but never to actually draw from that well. And I often will exercise in the mornings. That's the time that I like to work out, and I'll go to the gym and go along to the gym and do a workout, and they generally lead us through a quite strenuous workout. And what I find is often after working out in the morning, by lunchtime or by the afternoon, I'll be like, oh, I feel really dehydrated right now. Like, I've got a headache. I just feel average right now. I'm dehydrated. And in that moment, I get so frustrated because I'm like, Luke, why do you keep doing this over and over again? You have got clean water freely available to you, Luke. All you need to do is to turn on the tap. I mean, it's accessible. It is free. You can access water and fill up your water bottle wherever you go. There's no reason for you to be dehydrated over and over again. And Ra tells me just about every day, Luke, drink more water. It is accessible. It is right there. All I have to do is turn on the tap. And in the same way, the tap of heaven, the Holy Spirit is accessible to you and I. It doesn't cost us anything. His resources are freely available to us. We don't have to pay for it. All we need to do is to come to Him and say, Holy Spirit, would you fill me up today? Holy Spirit, would you empower me today? Holy Spirit, I'm struggling today. Would you strengthen me? Would you help me persevere? Holy Spirit, I need you to touch my body right now. I need you to heal me. Holy Spirit, I need you to answer this prayer right now. We are invited to come again and again and again to the tap of heaven, the Holy Spirit, and to receive His living water. There is no reason for you and I to live spiritually dehydrated lives because He has sent His Spirit for us.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.